All right. Well, very good. Good morning, New Hope Baptist Church and others that have found this live stream. And we are on YouTube, is that correct? We're on YouTube and we're working to get on Facebook, is that also correct? Okay, so very good. So with that said, if you are in your home or if there, you're one of the few, very few people with me here this morning. We've got certainly less than 10 per our president's request. Would you please stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God? We're in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're continuing on in our series of messages on Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. We're in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5. We're going to begin reading here in verse 14. Verse 14, and we'll take this through verse 16. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14 through 16. How does it sound? Good, okay. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Hopefully everyone can hear me that wants to hear me, and everybody can see me that wants to see me. All right? The Word of God reads in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Here's that favorite verse of so many in this church. "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And everybody said, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you for the message contained herein for us, Lord, and we pray that by the Holy Spirit, you would apply this word to our hearts and we would, Lord, we would be more like Christ than when we began watching this. Lord, I thank you that we can still, under the circumstances of the day, under this pandemic and everything going on, Lord, I'm so thankful and blessed that we can come together on Sunday morning and we can break the bread of life together. Lord, I pray that your word would go out, that those that are so desperately in need to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, because of the preaching of the word from this pulpit and other pulpits across this land, that Father God, you would use the social media, you would use your word, you would use your gospel to draw to yourself those that are lost, those that so desperately need to come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you saved me. Thank you that you saved us. Thank you, Lord, that we can be together. Whether we're this far apart, we're still together as we break the bread of life together. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. And may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Well, you know the song, "This Little Light of Mine." I can't sing too much of it because that's copyrighted and YouTube will pull the video. But "This Little Light of Mine," "I'm going to let it shine," right? And then my favorite phrase, "Hide it under a bushel." And then everyone goes, "No, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it." That's right. So that's the title of the message, "Hide it under a bushel." And we all say, "No," right? As we continue on in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus, he uses two powerful metaphors to describe his people. First of all, he calls us both salt, and then he transitions that and calls us light. He calls us both salt and light. Now, last week we talked about salt. Salt is a substance, and light is energy, or you could say light is a force, and both of these things are valuable, and both are useful. However, when we think about the two, a keen sense of the obvious is that these two things are vastly different in composition and in application. For example, salt, it kind of works behind the scenes. In fact, once your food is salted, once you put the pinch of salt on it or you sprinkle it or you throw the salt in the grits or whatever you do, the salt dissolves, doesn't it? It's no longer visible. One's hard-pressed to see the said salt. But light, however, light, it works openly. See, salt works from within, light from without. Salt can retard spoilage. That's the beauty about salt. You can cure all kinds of things with it, keep things from spoiling. But it cannot, salt cannot change spoilage back to fresh. Whereas light makes things grow, becoming fresh in the first place. So spiritually, when we think about it spiritually, spiritually meaning salt can retard corruption, but it cannot turn corruption into incorruption. Whereas light not only reveals what is wrong and false, but it helps produce what is righteous and true. So when Jesus called us salt and light, he was telling us that our purpose in this world is to influence the world for the very glory of God. We are to be salt to help retard the sin and corruption in this world. And we are to be light to help dispel the confusion we find all around us about who God is and about what Jesus has come to do. Jesus has come to save the sinner from his sins. Amen? We continue on. When we think about salt and light, these two things are both miracles. We talked last week about how salt is in your body, how salt is in the ocean. Salt is composed of chloride and sodium. And both of these things are highly explosive elements. Yet God has combined them in such a manner that they're stable. And they actually are in my blood and in your blood, right? And in fact, it's edible. And in fact, we've got to have it. And in fact, salt is valuable. But light, when we think about it, it's a miracle as well. Salt's a miracle. Light is a miracle. Just listen to how Webster's Dictionary defines light. Let me read it to you. Something that makes vision possible. Sounds miraculous to me, doesn't it? The sensation aroused by stimulation of the visual receptors. Miraculous sounds. Webster goes on to say, an electromagnetic radiation in the wavelength range, including infrared, visible, ultraviolet, and X-rays. And you know how fast light travels, right? If it's in a vacuum, the vacuum of space. Webster says, traveling in a vacuum with a speed of about 186,281 miles, not per hour, but per second. It's moving on, isn't it? It's a miracle light. Specifically, Webster says, the part of this range that is visible to the human eye. Both salt and light impact their world for what they were created to do, just as Christians are to impact their world as well. Perhaps that is why Jesus used these common, even though miraculous, common, everyday images to describe his people and the influence they are to have in the world. Well, as I mentioned earlier, last week we covered what? We covered salt. This week, you're getting it, aren't you? We're covering light. Are you still with me? We're covering light, okay? Three things about the passage I want you to think about this morning. Number one, gospel light, because that's what we're talking about here. Gospel light has power. That's point number one. Gospel light has power. Look at verse 14. You are the light of the world. That light there is the gospel light, the gospel power, right? Light's an amazing thing, correct? We all get that. We agree with that. While it does not have physical properties, light can have profound effects on physical objects. Light is basically a wave of energy that can be seen by the naked eye. Wow, what a miracle, right? So how is it so powerful? How is this light, this gospel light, how does it have so much power? I want to share with you three things about this power. Gospel light has power. Number one, light conquers darkness. Conquers it. It drives it out. Anywhere there is the least bit of light when I get up early in the morning. This little Fitbit watch, it's got a green little laser, some kind of little pulsing laser on the back of it. And I'm telling you, when I get up and it's pitch black early in the morning, just the little flicker of that green laser illuminates enough for me to walk and miss the edge of the footboard of my bed, right? And there's not a whole lot of room between the edge of the footboard and the wall. And so edge of the footboard's about knee high. So praise the Lord for just a little bit of light, because it illumines, it drives out the darkness, and it keeps my knees healthy. Amen? But just a little bit of light from anything, a Fitbit or a smartwatch or just a phone. And I'm not talking about turning the flashlight on your smartphone. I'm just talking about turning the display on your phone. It has the power to drive away all the black, all the oppressive darkness so that you can see. The same is true in the spiritual realm when we're talking about how gospel light has power. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And so what's the application as we think about light conquers darkness, as we think about light has power? Well, a godly Christian, the application is this. A godly Christian can bring rays of light into the darkest of situations. Into the darkest of situations. What is the application? Spiritual light can save us from making the kind of mistakes we would only make in worldly darkness. See, light conquers darkness. It's powerful. But secondly, light changes deadness. It changes deadness. This past Thursday, March the 19th, we experienced once again the spring equinox, or solstice, if you will, marking, what does spring solstice or equinox mark? It marks the Earth's orbit around the sun, where the Earth's tilt makes the sun's rays more direct on the northern hemisphere. They're more direct than what they are in the winter solstice. It's just more direct sun. And the spring solstice, the spring equinox, is still less direct than the summer solstice. When we get to the summer solstice, the sun's as direct as it's going to be for that time of the year for the northern hemisphere, right? And the effects of that when we get to about August is that we're praying, "Oh, dear Lord, bring the winter solstice back again," because it's so hot around here, right? Because the rays are so direct. But these more direct sun rays bring life out of deadness. The grass and the weeds in my backyard have not had an opportunity to fertilize yet. Got to fertilize. It's March. The grass and weeds are greening up in the backyard. I mean, boy, it looks like a jungle back there. I mean, they're just blooming up. My azaleas in the front yard, northern exposure, they're not even getting the direct sunlight yet, but just the sunlight getting close to them as the earth tilts more direct, they're blooming like gangbusters. My crepe myrtles, cut them back when I was supposed to cut them back. I think it's, what, after Valentine's Day or something like that in February? Man, those crepe myrtles are budding like crazy. And then there's the trees. And what are the trees doing? They're pollinating like gangbusters. I mean, if you've seen the news, the tree pollen is off the chart. Why is that doing that? It's doing that because of the light of the sun. Amen? What does it do? It changes deadness. We know in our own hearts, we know in our own circumstances that it was the light of the gospel. The gospel light of grace that brought life into our dead souls. And we're standing today, or we're sitting today, wherever we're at today, listening to this live stream. We're hearing it if we've received Christ as a saved soul. Amen? Our hearts are warmed by the truth of the Word of God. And we were delivered from death and darkness by His light. And that's a good spot if you're home or here to say amen. That's a real good spot. So as we let our saved gospel-filled hearts shine, as we let our hearts shine, as we let our hearts reflect the light of Jesus, the same phenomenon takes place as takes place in nature. God uses the light of our witness, and He uses the light of our testimony to warm the dead sinner's heart and to draw them to Jesus Christ for salvation. Our light, which is really His light being reflected by us, is a means of bringing the life of heaven to the dead ones on earth. See, when a Christian's around and he's living Christ, it's always spring. It's always a time of growth. It's always a time and an opportunity for the dead things, the lost folk, to come back to life. That's a good thing. Amen? Gospel light has power. Light conquers darkness. Light changes deadness. But thirdly, we're talking about its power. Light cancels dreariness. Dreariness. Now, it's been dreary the last couple of days. Thought we were going to get a little bit better sunshine today, but hold on. We're in Texas. Don't hold your breath too long. The weather will change. How many times have you seen or been a part of or been in a gloomy, dreary weather day? And then suddenly, that day, that time, that outside time or whatever, was suddenly replaced with the gleaming light of the sun. The clouds part, and there's the sun. How often have we felt the cold, chilling fingers of winter? I mean, when it gets down into the 40s, boy, we're just shivering and shaking here. Boy, we feel the chilling fingers of winter. Oh, these things instantly lose their grip as the sun brightens sky overhead begins to warm things, right? We've all seen dreary days immediately transformed by the appearance of light. This world that we're living in right now can be a what, Pastor? It can be a dreary place, can it? Oh, yes, it can. And I'm not just referring to the weather, but I'm talking about the dreariness that we may be experiencing emotionally. I'm talking about the dreariness that we may be experiencing spiritually. The emotional, spiritual climate in the world today. You know what I'm talking about. If you've been to the stores around trying to buy toilet paper, pretty dreary out there, isn't it? Right? I mean, you're beginning to think, what am I going to use for toilet paper? Because you can't buy toilet paper. Boy, you got to be real quick with it. If you got to get up early. You got to time it just right when the store opens. And, man, you got to be the first 100, 150 folks in the store to get the TP, right? I mean, it's dreary. We can't find TP. Where's the toilet paper? Who's buying all the toilet paper, right? Some people have gone to hoarding toilet paper. I don't know what that's about. But however dark and dank and dreary a day may be, even in the midst of COVID-19, when I'm exposed to the light of the people of God, I am instantly brightened. Instantly brightened. I told my family, I said, you know, we can't have 10 people in the church, but we can have us in the church. And dad needs to have somebody. I got Lori and Jeremiah back there on the sound booth, and that's three of us, and then we got the other four Lees that are here, and praise God for them. Just their presence makes the difficult situation of preaching to a relatively empty sanctuary, just their presence makes that, oh, so much easier and better. Amen. Just to have warm Christian bodies here, amen? Nodding and agreeing and saying amen, or saying, you know, holding up a sign, we'll give you a 5 on that point. Oh, well, that's a little bit better. We'll give you a 7 on that point. Amen. So just to have some feedback, right? Light cancels dreariness. Some days there may be a chill in my own soul. And, you know, sometimes things get difficult and tough. But a few minutes around a brother or a sister who is shining the light of Jesus, and that's good stuff. Sometimes when we're down and we're discouraged, and we get around a brother or sister in Christ, and they're they're living their faith and they're walking with Jesus and they're in the center of God's will. I want to tell you that that causes my spiritual and emotional chill. That causes that to just thaw and to dissipate. And instead of me pulling them down, I'm experiencing them pulling me up. Praise God for that, right? That can help all of us when we think about the times that we're living in. You know, you can approach this pandemic with a positive heart, or you can, a spiritual positive heart, or you can approach it with a negative cynical heart. I would encourage you to approach it with a spiritual opportunistic heart. This is a time that people might listen when they perhaps may not have listened before to the truth of God's word. Thank God when we talk about dreariness. Thank God for the redeemed children of God. They are like a warm ray of light in a dreary place. So, gospel light has power. I said I wanted to share with you three things about this passage. That's the first one. Gospel light has power. But secondly, gospel light has places that it's got to shine. Gospel light has places to shine, friend. Two places I want to share with you specifically. Number one, light should shine in the church. It should shine in the church. It should shine in the community of believers. Look with me in chapter 5, verse 14. The second half of that, first half was, you are the light of the world. The second half, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Wow. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? A city set on a hill. Let's think about the cities of the first century for just a moment. A city is today and was back then not a single light, but a city back then and today is a collection of many lights. And when we think about first century cities, the cities in that day in this region of the world were often constructed out of stone, out of white limestone. Right? They would hew it from the ground and harvest it and bring it and make walls and all that stuff with it. Imagine a white limestone city setting on top of a hill. The sun rises from the east and reflects off that city. The city could be seen for miles in the daytime. The city could not be hidden for anything. It's going to be seen. When night falls, the moon would also light the city. The moon reflecting the sun's rays, then beaming down on the city, reflecting those sun rays off the moon. Even if there was darkness and the moon is full, the city could not be hidden. Even if there was no moon to shine upon the city. The lights of the city, those olive oil burning lamps, on the patios and the paths of the houses and the streets of the town and the courtyards could be seen for many miles around. And again, the city could not be hidden either at day or at night. Well, when we think about in terms of these first century cities, and we think about in terms of who is Jesus speaking to, Jesus is speaking to a group of Christians, a group of would-be disciples here as he's preaching his Sermon on the Mount. Thus, the application, the inference is, you get this, we are the city set on a hill. The church, as the church, we are the city on a hill. Gospel light has a place to shine. Where should it shine? It should shine in the church. Who are the church? We are the church. He's referring to us. And as a church, we let our light shine how? We let our light shine by our standards. We let our light shine by our style of worship, how we praise God. Do we really praise God in spirit and truth? Is there reverence in the house of God? Do we really seek to glorify Almighty God, our style of worship? And by the things we stand and kneel for, right? I love that shirt that many of us have got. It says, what do? We stand for the flag and we kneel for the cross, right? Stand for the flag, kneel for the cross. As a church, we let our light shine by being vocal. As a church, we let our light shine by being visible. As a church, we let a light shine by being a vibrant witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, even in the midst of this COVID-19 pandemic that we find ourselves in. So, social distancing, okay. Groups of 10 or less, sure, why not? Stay home unless absolutely necessary. You betcha I can do that. So, Pastor, you're talking to a virtually empty sanctuary. How in the world is the church? How is she, the bride of Christ, how should she let her light shine now? I'll give you three words. First word, pray. Second word, pray. Third word, that's really a phrase. Pray some more. Pray, pray, and pray some more. Pray for your lost family members. Pray for those lost in the community around you. Pray, 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 and pray some more that they would see the gospel light, that they would see the light of Jesus in you. Well, Pastor, they can't see me because of social distancing. Friend, we've got technology out the wazoo, man. Send them a picture, right? Put something on your Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You know what I'm talking about. Go old school and send them an email. Go old school, right? Right? What I want to tell you today, church, is there are some folks, there are some lost folks that have not been this still and quiet because of this pandemic. They've not been this still or quiet since they were infants lying in a bassinet somewhere. I'm telling you, you really could have, you church member, you Christian, you saved brother or sister in Christ, you really could have a captive audience hearing your gospel witness. So be bold. This is not the time to hold back. Be bold in and on your social networks and your social platforms. And you can still witness through your phone. And you can still witness through your thumbs. And you can still witness through your old school emails, right? Light should shine in the church, the community, a city sat on a hill. But secondly, gospel light has places to shine. Secondly, light should shine in the Christian. We continue on in the passage. You are the light of the world. A city sat on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp. King James Version, light a candle. New American Standard, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, it gives light to all who are in the house, right? Well, why would he even say put it under a basket, or King James Version, put it under a bushel, right? Candle. Why would he even say that? Well, back in the day, first century, nobody had big lighters. You couldn't go to the gas range and go click, 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 whoop, right, and make a flame. So once you got a flame going in your oil-burning lamp, they would take it, and at night, when everybody wanted to go to sleep, they would take a clay pot, or they would take a big wicker bushel that had some distance on it, and they would flip it upside down and put it over that oil-burning lamp. After they placed that oil-burning lamp on the floor, they'd make sure that oil-burning lamp had plenty of oil in it that it would burn through the night. And they would chalk up just the side. They would wedge up just the side of it so the flame would get oxygen to burn, but it wouldn't go out, right? And it was what were they making? They were making the first nightlight is what they were making. But they were trying to bring down the illumination so that everyone could sleep inside the house. That's the point why he says that. But you don't leave it under a bushel or a basket when you want to see, do you? Oh, no. You pull that thing off of there, and you set that thing up as high as you can. Me and my wife were putting up some pictures in the bedroom. She had painted the bedroom, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago or whatever. And she wanted those things up there, and, you know, I tried to get out of it as long as I could. Told her, well, you know, the paint's really kind of needs to cure out for 30 days and really toughen up and get hard. Well, she finally clued in on that. She said, you know, hey, it's been, let's get them up, right? So I go, well, let's get that off of my list, right? So anyway, got the level and the nails and the little hammer and the tape measure and the tape and all that stuff to mark the wall and get them all centered up, because it's got to be just right. Got to be centered, got to be leveled, got to be just right. So we're doing all this, and I'm working on a light gray wall with dark blue painter's tape and a blue Bic pen. And guess what, Pastor Steve can't see? I can't see the marks. I can't see the marks. It's just raining outside. It's dreary. It's dark. The light's on inside, but I can't. I'm on the wall. I'm in the shadows, right? So I told my wife. I said, get that flashlight right there. I got a flashlight on the nightstand by the bed. Get that flashlight. Let's shine some light so I can see. Well, if she held the light down low, it just created a shadow with my hand and the tape and everything. And I kept saying, get the light up higher, higher, higher. And so she'd get that light up high, and it illumines everything, right? Right. That's what Jesus is saying here. The higher we can get the light, it illumines everything. Light should shine in the Christian, and we should not hide our gospel light. We should get our gospel light in us as high as we can get it. Jesus is talking about, I've already explained it, these ancient oil lamps. They were usually clay containers filled with olive oil, in which was placed a piece of twisted flax or cotton to serve as a wick. And since most houses were windowless, an oil lamp or lamps was necessary for the occupants to be able to see. But no one lit the lamp and put it under a basket or a bushel unless they were doing what? Going to bed and going to sleep. To do so would have been foolish. Why would you keep that under there during the daytime? The lamp was lit so that people in the house could receive the light and see other objects. And how high did they put it? They put it as high as they could get it. This verse is speaking about, as the last part of the passage was speaking about the church, the community of believers, this verse is speaking about the power of the individual believer's witness. Isn't it saying that? Yeah, light a lamp. Singular. You're the lamp, right? And as good and practical to your spiritual growth as religious activities are, I mean, it's great. Church attendance is awesome. It's going to be hard to do that for the next 3 weeks or two and a half or whatever. Church attendance is going to be difficult, but joining the pastor on the live stream, that's part of your witness. Coming to church is part of your witness. But church attendance and church activities and coming on Wednesday night and Sunday night Bible study and Monday night Bible study, all those church activities are great and part of your witness, but that's not all of your witness. It's just part of it. See, worship time leads to discipleship. And discipleship leads to this part of witnessing, part of the believer's witness that we got to get. And that is evangelistic witnessing. Evangelistic witnessing. So when the live stream ends, the gospel witnessing really can begin when the live stream ends. See, if you're not, let's think about that for a moment. If you're not witnessing, if you're not evangelistic witnessing, then what is the basket? What is the bushel that you are covering your gospel testimony with? Why have you gone to sleep and tried to snuff out or cover up? You don't want to put the light out. You just don't want to let the light shine. What is it that you've put over the lamp? I can give you a couple of things. Not be exhaustive here. If we were to be exhaustive, we would be here all day. But give you a couple of things. Some hide their light under the basket, under the bushel of fear. They're just afraid to do it. Friend, there's a lot of fear going on. Be the brave one and tell somebody about Christ, right? Celebrate your salvation. Let your gospel light come up inside of you and get as high in you so that people can see it. Others are hiding their light under a basket of apathy. They just don't care anymore. Perhaps some are hiding their light under a besetting sin. They're living in shame and guilt, and they're so self-focused on how they believe they failed the Lord, they just need to come and confess and repent and turn from that and get on back down the road. Some may be hiding their testimony. I jest here, but you'll get it. Under their love of toilet paper. I mean, they go to these different places, and they see the last thing of toilet paper on the shelf, and they know that they've got 150 rolls of toilet paper at the house, but they've got to have 8 more. And so they rush, rude, push, fight to get the last 6 rolls of toilet paper on the shelf. When they should do what? When they should just back away and keep on going because they've got 150 rolls of toilet paper at the house. What are people hiding their gospel witness under? I said apathy. This is probably the saddest one. Some self-proclaimed Christians, they do not care that a lost world is going to hell around them. When a Christian gets to that point of indifference, of apathy, what a tragic shape for a Christian to find themselves in. There's a passage that kind of spells it out. It's in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. It's the rich man and Lazarus. We need to have the heart that the rich man had when he was in isolated torment. Remember? Remember that passage? Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. How he wanted somebody, Abraham, please send somebody to warn my 5 brothers. Oh, they can't go through what I'm going through. Please send a witness. Send somebody. That should be our heart when we think about those that are lost. We want to warn them. We want to tell them. We want to share with them, right? We ought to be conscious to the truth that people are dying without Jesus every day. They are perishing, and we hold in our hearts, we hold the very antidote. We have the gospel light. We have the gospel power. Now, let me tell you what's going on here. The devil wants us all to be so self-focused completely on our physical well-being with this COVID-19 stuff. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'm up here today, and my body is broke out with shingles. Yeah, 52 years old. Doctor said, you need to get that vaccination for shingles. She told me that when I turned 50. I said, okay, doc, I'll get around to that. Well, here I am, 52 and a half. Guess who didn't get the vaccine? Didn't get it. Guess who's got shingles? Got them. Guess who's in a lot of pain? Yippee, right? This is the first morning in about 6 days that my head has not been pounding. It feels like somebody's just driving an ice pick all the way through my head. Left flank is broke out with some shingles over here. And do you know what that means? That means that my immune system is working double time to try to deal with this virus of shingles. So you would think I would leave the house. You would think I would be in the bed covered up to my nose with a blanket. Going, oh, I don't want the COVID. Couldn't handle the COVID with the shingles. The devil and the demonic want us to be. I'm not talking about throwaway wisdom. Got to have wisdom. But the devil and the demonic want us to be so focused right now on our physical health that we forget about the lost man or woman, the lost boy and girl. Let me tell you something. COVID-19 is a serious pandemic. The last pandemic, the really bad one, 1918, 675,000 Americans died in about 2.5 years. That was a bad pandemic. Spanish flu, 1918. Estimates are 50 to 100 million people died worldwide. Is that going to happen here, COVID-19? I don't know. Way above my pay grade. Who knows? Who knows? But let me tell you something. This is what I do know. There are worse things than our own personal death. What do you mean by that? There are worse things than our own physical death. Let me say that again. If I'm saved and a Christian, if I'm heaven bound, if I'm headed for the day of redemption, if Jesus has saved me, I'm walking with the Lord, I know that I'm just passing through, there are worse things than my personal physical death. You know what the worst thing is? The worst thing is dying without Christ. Don't forget that in the midst of all of this. There are people that need to hear you as a saved Christian, a blood-bought believer. There are people that need you to step up and speak gospel truth on your social media, through your text messages, through your emails. Oh, friends, speak it. Say it, right? Because there's worse things than our own personal physical death. Amen? All right, got one amen in the house anyway. All right, gospel light has power. Secondly, gospel light has places to shine. Thirdly, gospel light has purpose. It has purpose. Look at verse 16 with me. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Amen? Great verse, powerful. A lot of people's favorite verse here. Charlie Gaines' favorite verse. Bobby Coons' favorite verse. I mean, I'm telling you, people around here, they liking that verse, right? What does that verse mean? Well, gospel light has purpose. Purpose, first of all, to witness to the lost. To witness to the lost. When lost people see the light of Jesus shining through the lives of the redeemed ones, they will notice. How will they notice? They will notice through good works. Everybody say it with me. Good works. One more time. Good works. Your good works. Amen? Well, what are good works? That begs the question. Well, what are these things? What are good works? Good works are works motivated by love. Good works are works motivated by love carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Good works are works motivated by love carried out in the power of the Holy Spirit and performed for the very glory of Almighty God. Amen? Good works. In other words, good works are works produced in us and through us by Jesus Christ Himself. Yay! And the crowd goes wild. Jesus Christ Himself. Galatians chapter 2:20. If Matthew 5:16 is your favorite verse, Galatians 2:20 has got to be close behind it. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. So what's the application of all that? Well, what are we talking about? A witness to the lost. Gospel light has purpose. What's the application of all that? As I yield to Jesus and He lives His life through me, I prove to the world, I prove to them that my profession of faith is real, James 2:18. I prove to them and that Jesus Christ really does possess the power to transform a broken and lost life into a thing of immense beauty, saved, going to be resurrected and have a glorified body one day. That's what we do. That's the application. I think it's a pretty good application, don't you? Amen? It's all Bible. It's just nothing but the gospel. Amen? What gospel light has purpose to do what? A witness to the lost. But secondly, a witness to the Lord. Gospel light has purpose, a witness to the Lord. There's no greater witness than a born-again believer reflecting the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, there's nothing like it. There's no more powerful testimony than a life which displays the proof of his presence through the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, right? That's got to be one of your favorite verses too, if this light passage is one of your favorite verses. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-meekness, all that self-control, right? This truth of the witness of the Lord is seen in the witness of the Gerasene demoniac, or Gadarene demoniac, Gerasene, Gadarene, whatever, however you want to say it. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20, and we'll not read all that, but I do want to give you verse 15 of Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, 15 says this. They came to Jesus. You remember the story. This guy's got a legion of demons in him. Jesus sends the legion of demons into a herd of swine. A herd of swine go over the cliff into the abyss, to the water, which represents the abyss, right? They don't have any bodies to possess, so they go into the abyss in the water, right? And so the herdsmen go back to the town folk and say, whoa, something's going on, right? And so they all come back out. So Mark 5:15, they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, and he was what? He was sitting down, clothed, and the Word of God says, in his right mind, the very man who had had the legion, and they all became frightened. Why did they become frightened? They became frightened because they didn't know Jesus. They weren't saved. They didn't have faith. But what a testimony to the Lord. What a witness to God. What a witness to Jesus' power. Amen? Gospel light has purpose, a witness to the lost, a witness to the Lord. This truth of the witness to the lost is seen in the witness of the woman at the well. John chapter 4, verse 39, and you all know that verse. John 4:39 says, from the city many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all the things that I have done. He told me all the things that I have done. So how could I not believe that he was Jesus, the Son of the living God? So what is the truth we can take away from point number three? What gospel light has purpose. What's the truth? The truth is simply this. As a lost world sees the difference that Jesus makes in his children, God is honored and glorified, and the lost people around us, they have an opportunity to believe. They have an opportunity to believe. So, let me bottom line it for you. Bring it all together. Wrap it up. Put a bow on it. So you can think about it after the live stream ends. Just as light does not exist to call attention to itself, but to draw attention to the things it illuminates, our witness does not magnify what we have done. Our witness is about a great God. Our witness is about a great God who loved us and saved us when we deserved, you know what we deserved? When we deserved damnation ourselves. When we deserved a one-way ticket to a place called hell. But that didn't work out that way for us because of God's grace, because of God's sovereignty, because of God's mercy. Our purpose is not to make people look at us, not to look at us and say, wow, what a great Christian. Our purpose is not to make people look at our church and say, wow, what a great church. Our purpose is to make people look at us and say, wow, I want to know that God. Our purpose as a church is for people to look at us and say, I want what they want. I want what they got. Right? I want what they got. They must, New Hope Baptist Church, they must serve an awesome God. They must serve a great God. I want to know that God too. So as we bring it to a close today, if you're not saved, if you have not received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, would you consider today, right now, that the Holy Spirit is drawing you, is right now convicting you of your need as a sinner, and your need as a sinner is to have a Savior take care of your sin. So in a few moments, I'm going to pray, and when I pray, that'll be the close to this service. But I believe there will be a mobile phone put up on the screen, and that's my cell number. And if you would like to discuss further about what it means to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, friend, I would love to enter a text conversation with you or an audio conversation with you or whatever conversation you want to have about how you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Please reach out. Don't just sit and stew if you know you're being convicted by the person of the Holy Spirit. Let somebody help you. Let me help you. Let me point you to the Word of God. And the Word of God is basic, it's simple, and it's true. And it'll help you. It'll help you see the fact that you're a sinner and that God has sent a Savior. His name is Jesus. And Jesus has taken care of your sin debt on Calvary's cross. And friend, he defeated death, hell, and sin. He resurrected the third day. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's making intercession for you right now to receive him as personal Lord and Savior. So would you, could you, reach out, 281-881-4999. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we will be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you, and we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the power of it. We thank you for your gospel. And Lord, as we have described your gospel today in some kind of detail, calling it light, oh, it's got power, and it's got purpose, and it's got places to shine. And Lord, I pray that your gospel light would shine in me, that it would shine in New Hope Baptist Church, that it would shine in these Christians, that it would shine in these other believers, Lord, that are scattered across this land. And Lord, in the midst of this COVID-19, this pandemic, the church would not be silent, the church would not be quiet, but we would continue to beat the gospel drum that people need a Savior, that lost folks need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that this pandemic stuff, this is not the worst that there is in life, that there's things even worse than this, and it's dying without the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Lord, help the community of believers, help the community of faith, make a stand and take a stand and be a witness to the lost. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, you folks are done. Live stream over.